Sure.
So maybe we might be like a little bit. And I'm wondering, like, should we make our like paragraphs like sentences? Are we recording?
No.
No, not at all. I'm still like checking out the Rebe site.
I don't know what's going on the bottom here, but it's still that big sound wave.
The big one. And then is the upper one like the two?
Yep.
Oh,
I don't know why the bottom one changed, but this is it.
Well, we have a catastrophe and we're just fucking going with it.
We are.
All right, guys.
Oh, shit, I fell.
All right, guys. So welcome to the Dark Light Podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Jen.
And today we will be on part two of James Bautista. Whoa, 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 whoa. Waka 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 waka.
If there's one thing in this world that I could do, like just as a random skill, it would be beatboxing. I wish I could fucking beatbox.
This is super fucking not ass random because you just mentioned it. But if you had like one superpower in the world, what would it be? Because I was listening to a podcast about this earlier and I was like, holy shit, that would be mine. And I never thought about it before. Come on.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that I wish I could do. Like,
I know.
Give me a little bit of an example. Like,
I don't want to give the one that I'm thinking of. Well, okay.
Like,
invisibility. Knowing what people are thinking.
I don't want to know what people think because I already struggle with that, with anxiety, where I'm like,
ditto.
So that one's like completely out of the question.
Yeah.
You know, I think if there was anything that I could do, like anything, I would want to be super smart.
Super smart?
Super smart.
Ah. Mine, thanks to the podcast I was listening today, and I don't remember what it's called. Sorry. It was just an episode I was just fucking randomly listening to at work. But it would be to control people's thoughts. So, not in the sense that you're probably thinking, but in the sense that I, like, okay, so if I was a bad guy that was robbing a bank, I could change your thought into being like, give me all of your money. You just want to give me all of your money. Without actually saying anything. And then they would give you the money without even fucking thinking about it. And then I could walk out. And there would be no crime done. Well, there would be. But, like,
but
you know?
But there wouldn't be, like, it wouldn't be like, oh my god, guns out.
Yeah.
Give me all your money.
And, like, if you wanted to fucking, like, I don't know, sneak in somewhere. You could just be like, oh, I'm supposed to be here. And then they would all just fucking let you in. You know?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Never thought of that one.
Me neither.
Until
today. And I was like, that's the fucking one I would have.
But I think I'd still choose being like super smart because that's one thing I struggle with. I'm not the smartest person.
But like with mine, you can make everyone think that you are super smart.
True.
Yeah. That is a thing. Right? It could be like fucking like, oh, I want to go bowling. Well, I don't have the money to go bowling. Well,
you will pay for me.
This person is thinking that we're friends and we should go bowling together. Next thing you know, we're fucking bowling together. Like, that would be such a cool thing. Like, you could get everything you ever fucking wanted. I shouldn't say that. There's other things that I want that I can't have.
I'd still... I don't know. That's just one thing. I just really want to be smart.
If you could have anything in the world or bring someone back to life to live like a fucking natural life, what would you do?
That's a hard one too. It's because like I've already grieved. Like maybe it's different because my grandma was older. And I know the life that she had was good, and she had a lot of love given. And to bring her back, would I want to bring her back into the sadness of this world, or would I want to choose to make my children happy? And, like, say...
That's fair.
Like, as much as I would give out anything to give her back, would it be selfish of me to give it back? I don't know.
I don't know.
If I could have everything, like, in that sense, I'd choose it all. I'd definitely have her back, but would I be selfish for bringing her back?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
These are all the unknown.
The unknown. that really fucking made me think, because I was like, oh yeah, I would 100% want to bring him back.
I think, but then, like a little bit different. Like, my grandma was older.
Yeah, Kara was 13.
Life. Yeah.
But, like, the world is going to fucking doom. But I would still want him to live out his life.
Yeah, and I think in that sense is completely different. Like, yes, I would love to see my grandma again. And I would do anything for that. But if I brought her back just for my own selfish needs.
That's fair, yeah.
With her, like, she was my grandma. Like,
yeah.
But having your nephew, who was 13, like, that would be, like, just a completely different scenario.
That's fair.
So I don't think that would be selfish in your case.
That's fair. Like, if they're ready to go, they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. But, like, he didn't even have the mindset, like, the brain capacity to know if he was ready to go.
Yeah. And like, that would be, like,
the just aging and stuff.
Yeah. And that's just a completely different.
Yeah. That's fair. Well, on that note, all right, guys. Welcome to the Dark Light Podcast. Did I already say that?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit
fuck.
Gets dark.
Well, I'm Joe.
And I'm Jen.
And, well, as you guys already know, because I apparently already said this, Jane Batista Part 2! So we kind of want to try and get it, like, in, like, a flowy, like, a uptone.
More us, more natural.
Yeah. But we also still have it paragraph to paragraph. So we are going to try. So if it's terrible, we apologize.
It's just us.
It's just us. It's always just us.
So on that note, Jason was finally able to talk Jane into finding a new home. Jason was able to play his words to get her to look into a place in Riverside. A new school was opening up that Matt could attend.
Okay. So, when I was reading the book, I didn't fully put it into words, but it was like a brand new school opening up in this new fucking place. And as we know from previously, she's very controlling, very like, and very not into her mind right now. And so a new school would be like new textbooks, new everything, right? And so that's how he was able to like sway her into this. So Jason was finally able to find a major. He settled for biochemistry. The school offered Jason a job in the computer lab. He gained the keys. This meant he had 24/7 access, and he would often bring Matt along so he could work on his homework in peace, or they could even watch downloaded TV. You know, whatever floats the boat. Jason's favorite TV show was The Sopranos. This is where he got a lot of his ideas.
The new place was good for Jane for a little bit, but eventually, as always, things took a turn when she became convinced that the neighbor was a pedophile who wanted Matt.
Can you imagine if, like, your mom just came down and was like, your neighbor wants to rape you? Trigger warning. But, like, can you imagine? And, like, you knew that wasn't actually going on. Like, that would be so fucked up. But at least they're, like, tuned to it. But it would still be, like, really fucking messed up.
Yeah. I mean, I have crazy neighbors. Hopefully not that crazy. Neighbor. I shouldn't say neighbors. My other neighbors are great.
Do not let your dogs on my property.
They don't even look at his wall, for fuck's sake.
When Jason tried to talk some sense into her, she asked if he was also a pedophile who wanted to rape his brother. When this nonsense wouldn't stop, Jason confided in Matt. He couldn't move again. It would mess up everything.
Jason was finally happy where he was and wanted to stay. He would not let his mother do this to him again. Not this time. And Jason was explaining to Matt everything, even asking him to help. Matt refused that. He didn't think Jason was being serious, but he couldn't chance it.
Jason wanted his mom to be gone and wanted to make it look like self-defense. Matt decided that he could not stop his brother, but he would not participate in the act. Jason came home from school on January 14th, 2003. Jane was at it again, trying to convince Jason that the pedophile was watching the house and that she had newspapers to prove that the neighbor was a pedophile.
Jason provoked his mom to start yelling. It wasn't her. Jane was now trying to throw Jason out. But Jason stood his ground. He was on the lease. She couldn't just throw him out.
Matt knew what was about to happen, you know, because they had talked about it before. He ran into Jane's room and closed the door. They had a dog. Jane really loved the dog. She loved him more than her own sons. Matt started just fucking hugging the dog. Matt heard the screaming until all he heard was a thump and somebody fall over.
Matt was terrified, gripping the dog hard. He knew he didn't want to go out in case Jason had... Jason's plan had happened. And it did. Jason stared down at his mother's lifeless body. Jason went to go comfort Matt without telling him exactly what had happened. But Matt knew.
Jason, his mother, was dead. No, Jane, his mother, was dead. Jason had beaten her nearly to death and finished it off with strangling her for about 6 minutes. He told that later to the authorities that it was about 5 to 6 minutes. When Matt left the room, he thought the sight of her would like throw him into tears or regret or sadness or like that he would feel something. But instead he felt nothing. Not sadness, not happiness. He was just kind of calm.
Jason asked Matt to feel if he could feel a pulse. He didn't. Jason knew that it didn't look like self-defense. Jane was beaten. And when Matt asked what now, Jason said they had to take care of it the Soprano style. In the episode, Jason and Matt would watch over and over again. The Sopranos chopped off the heads and hands of people so authorities wouldn't determine who it was through DNA.
Jason drove to the grocery store to buy garbage bags, gloves, bleach, a Mountain Dew, and a pack of gum. Because apparently that's what you buy after you kill someone. Mountain Dew and a pack of gum.
Interesting. I'll remember that.
Right?
Like, just kidding. I don't have the heart to kill people.
Well, and that's so, like, obsolete. Like, it's not obsolete. That's not the right word. But, like, it's like when you hear about somebody just fucking killing someone and then going to McDonald's to have a fucking McChicken.
I think, like, what in their mindset is they're trying to make it, like, they're trying to be as normal as possible. But when it comes down to, like, the investigation and what they find in the investigation, it's like you morbid. Bought bleach and gloves and gum and Mountain Dew.
And you know what? Every time I go out to buy fucking cleaning supplies to clean my house, I'm like, oh my God.
People probably think they murdered somebody.
Or it's like if you go out and grab, like, a cucumber and then I'm like, right? People are like,
What are you doing with that cucumber?
What? Are you going to buy condoms next? Like, and it's just so like, no, I just want to eat the cucumber. But it's like, what are they thinking?
Right?
Is that just anxiety? It might be.
It could just be anxiety. Or maybe we're just fucked up.
It also could be that. I do listen to a lot of fucking true crime and watch it. Like, literally, all day at work, I was just... fucking, like, I was listening to Morbid, and then after that, I went on to Discovery Plus, and then I was watching shows, and I was like, okay, you know what, like, maybe I should watch something, like, a little bit happy, so I was, like, watching How I Met Your Mother, And then, like, immediately went back to fucking, like, Supernatural by Ashley Flowers, which is also an awesome show. You guys should go check it out. But, like...
That's, like, all I listen to when I'm at work and I'm alone. Or, I mean, most times I'm not just alone. Like, I'll just listen to my podcast, which is, like, yeah. Crime Junkie, Morbid, Sinisterhood, you told me about.
Well, I was fucking at work the other day, and I was like, okay. So, last time I was at work, I had put on a podcast, and my one coworker, she was like, oh, I really fucking hope she walks by, because, like, she always puts this internet, I always put iHeartRadio on. And she was like, oh, she always puts this radio station on, I hope that she hears that it's just people talking. And I had actually put a podcast on, so then, eventually, they went out and changed it. And I was like, because me and my other coworker are like, all we want to do is listen to true crime.
Like, my boss will actually just listen to, well, she puts on, I can't remember what channel it is, but on satellite, she's always watching, like, murder shit. I'm like, I love you.
Yeah, right? I know. People will come into, because I work at a dentist office, and they'll come in. We have a TV that we'll put on for them if they're in for, like, a decent amount of time. And so many of them will watch, like, true crime shows or whatever. And like, me and my boss are like, okay, what's going on? Have they caught her? Who is it? What happened? We're like, we're like trying so hard to focus on the work, but we're like, ooh, what's going on?
I can say I've gone to them. They are good dentists. And they do their work. They're not distracted that much.
I do my work, and... Both my dentists do a fucking focus on what they are, but they listen, and they're like, okay, what's happening?
Right, I'd probably...
My one dentist is just completely into comedy, so, like, every time he'll, like, even, like, when you came in, he was like, okay, so, like, last time you watched do you want to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine again? Because he loves Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Right, like...
Well, because I was like, what do I watch even? Because I can't watch the shows I watch at home here.
Well, and, like, everybody's like that. And all the time he'll come in, he'll be like, well, you know what's a really funny show? Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And I do love good one Brooklyn time, Nine-Nine.
We were fucking, there was someone watching it, and it was literally an entire episode about cocaine. My coworker had never seen it, and she's like, oh my god, I'm never gonna let my children watch this. Like, I can't believe they were watching this. And I'm like, no, it's a really, really good show. Like, you need to watch it. It's just that episode was not great for the dentist office.
I think I could watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like, over and over again for the rest of my life.
Right? It's one of my comfort shows.
Right?
That, How I Met Your Mother, Friends, and New Girl. Those are my comfort shows. I love and The Office.
I've never really got into The Office. You guys might shame me for that, but...
That's okay. You know what? I never got into The Office until a really late stage in my life.
Maybe I should get into The Office.
And just, like, I'll just send you a random fucking episode. Because you can't start from the beginning. You have to watch, like, a random episode and then be like, oh, okay, this is good. So I will go through and I will send you an episode that's good.
Okay, I think we got a little bit off track.
A little bit.
Okay.
Okay, is it me? He began to saw with... Is that...
No, that's me.
Okay, sorry.
But you didn't... You finished...
Oh, I didn't read the thing before. We fucking switched the whole thing.
Yeah, we did. He draped... You're starting it. He draped his mother's lifeless body over the bathtub and chopped a large amount of flaming red hair off with some scissors.
Oh, so okay. I see. Book. I see where
but
I am.
I'll just continue.
Okay, yeah. You
do. He began to saw
where
with...
the fuck am I?
He began to saw with a butcher knife. Jason had run to the toilet to puke until his stomach was empty. This didn't stop him, though. He went back to Jean's body and continued to saw her head off. When the job was done, they needed to dispose of her body. They put her into a sleeping bag and threw her into the trunk and drove until they found a dumpster.
While the boys were trying to get her out, they were interrupted by a security guard that had told them that they couldn't dump her. Oh my goodness, sorry. They were interrupted by a security guard that told them that they couldn't dump garbage there and that it was private property.
I lost my spot. One second.
Jason was quite rude.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Jason was quite rude to him, and as him and Matt went to place Jane back into the trunk, the security guard noticed a footfall out of the sleeping bag. He yelled at them to stop and pointed his gun at them. The boys placed Jane back into the car and drove off.
The security guard could not shoot at them. Not that he wasn't allowed to, he just physically, he could not pull the trigger. But instead, he did take down their license plate number. They continued driving until they came to a cliff around 2 a.m. Jason took his mom's body out of the car, her headless, handless, naked body, and threw it over the cliff.
Once home around 5 a.m., Jason cleaned up the mess that was back at the apartment. He took everything to the dumpster in Hamlet, which was a few cities over, to dispose of everything.
Jason arrived back and told Matt that he needed to go to school. Just because her mother was no longer around, Matt couldn't lack on his studies. Remember, Jason was very, like, into his studies and everything, and he was kind of a dad figure to Matt. So Matt left for his afternoon classes while Jason scrubbed blood from the carpet.
8:30 a.m., the Orange County Sheriff's Homicide Department got a call out to a body. They had gotten word that she was dumped with no head or hands, so they thought it was going to be a tough one to solve.
Once they got to the body, they had discovered that her body had been drained of blood. They spent 12 hours collecting all of the evidence that they could from the scene.
So, when Jason was cutting her head off and her hands off, he had actually pushed down on her body and squeezed all of the blood into the bathtub.
Which is very fucking sinister. Like, how?
Yeah.
Never mind, like, finding that perfect place to slice your mom's body, but then just, like,
the blood out. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
They started to go through the missing person files to see if there was anyone that could match the description that they had gathered.
Matt got home from school on January 14th, 2003, and turned on the TV to discover that his mom's body was found. Matt wanted to know the details about what happened, though Jason couldn't say anything.
Matt was mad because the TV said that she didn't have a head. Jason claimed that this was for identification reasons. He had to do it. The next week was awesome for the boys. They could go wherever they wanted. They could have friends over. Life seemed normal. Jason had told his friends that his mom finally left town, and that's where all this freedom was coming from.
The officers that were investigating the death of this mysterious woman who was so brutally murdered and had dumped the body had come across a note on one of their desks.
The officer found it was a license plate number from the security guard. He ran it through the system and found the car belonged to Jason and Jane Batista. When he looked at Jason, he knew this big boy could handle the dismemberment of a woman. But when he looked at the picture of Jane is when it all clicked.
The red hair, 5'7", 140 pounds. He knew that this was the victim. He knew that he had to find Jason. This was the tricky part, though, since the address was located in San Marcos.
The detectives drove down there to identify that this was the correct man. When they got their lead, they put his name into Employment Development Department, where they got a hit.
It was his day off, but the hotel staff told them that they could find him at school. They found him at the college and brought him back to the department for questioning.
When authorities asked Jason to describe his mom, he said she was 5'4", maybe, 125 pounds soaking wet. She had tattoos, one of a sun on her back and Chinese characters, and said one of her boyfriends is into tattooing.
Obviously, the detectives knew that Jason was lying, as none of this was true. But he was just trying to, like, set the detectives onto a different path. Jason explained that his dad had died of suicide when he was young, and he loved his mom so much. He said that she was looking for a husband, and even though Jason told her many times she didn't need one, which wasn't true.
His grandma was an alcoholic, and his grandpa was too. But their great-grandma is the one that helped him out a lot. His mom didn't like people and had racist views. The officer started getting annoyed and told Jason to stop lying.
Jason had told them that Matt was in Disneyland, trying to protect him, obviously. Jason took a DNA swab after they had They had asked Jason to take a DNA swab, which he fucking agreed to. And they... And they had a search warrant wrote up for the house. Jason quickly grabbed his cell phone while the police were out of the room because they had left and were like, oh, we're just going to leave you for a minute. You know, that's a police fucking tactic. If they leave you, they're still fucking watching you. And they, and he pulled his cell phone out and he quickly called Matt to warn him not to go home.
He obviously didn't know he was being watched during this time. Jason finally gave in and was ready to tell police what had happened. The fight, the cutting of the body, pushing the blood out of her, puking. When they asked where the rest of her was, he admitted her hands and head were in the closet.
So this is kind of what Jen was going on before, where they, like, Jason was, like, pushing fucking full force on her. To fucking, I don't remember what he was trying to do. He didn't think that he was, like, draining the blood. But he was just like, oh, oh, oh. Just like, I don't know. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I don't know. Who the fuck knows? Jason knows. He admitted that Matt knew what was happening, but he didn't take part in anything. The officers left Jason to collect his slot on a piece of paper. And this is when he wrote,
Mom, why? I love you. It didn't have to happen. Why? You were there for me when I was a baby. Why couldn't you just be there for us now? Our life was so crazy, but I know you loved us. Why? Everything could have been perfect. I almost had my degree. Matt was going to college. We finally could have been happy. I'm not mad at you. The detectives say this isn't the first time a family has had something, had someone like you. We could have been a real family. Instead, everything was taken away. I didn't mean for you to get hurt. I love you. When I think about this, it makes me want to kill myself, but I can't. I need to be there for Matt. I don't know what good I am, though. A kid with no future, now worthless, with love and regret, Jason.
The officers now had Matt. They couldn't believe he was only 15. Matt started lying to them, said Jane was in Belize with her boyfriend. Matt gave up the ruse when he was told that Jason had already told them everything.
Matt claimed he didn't know much about what happened, but he did know Jason murdered their mother. Jason was allowed to see Matt. Matt was visibly upset that he was going to go to jail, but Jason insisted that he wasn't. Jason would be.
And this is very sad because, like, in the book, and we'll read the sources after, but in the book, Matt was like, I'm going to jail. And Jason was like, no, you're not. It's just me. Like, you're okay. You're not going to jail. And Matt was like, I'm going to jail for the rest of my life. And Jason was like, no, like, I am here to protect you. You are not going. And all Matt could think was, like, I am going to jail. I am going to jail. Like, I'm only 15, and I'm already going to jail for all of this. It was actually quite sad when I was reading the book. But anyways, the news read the story. This would be the first time in years that Jose had saw his son on the TV arrested for the murder of his mom. Remember Jose from part one? He was the one that kind of, like, took care of Jason, and he was trying to be there to protect Jason. He was the father of Matt, but he did love Jason as if he was his own.
The boys' relatives from Jane's side rushed to be by their side. It was easy to get in contact with Jason than it would be for them to get in contact with Matt, as he was being held in a juvenile hall.
Both the boys were placed into protective custody for their own safety. Because Jane fed the boys and made them go to school, and no abuse was reported, the court ruled that Matt would be tried as an adult. And this was because Jane basically protected them and had a, quote, safe home for them. Like, there was no reason for Matt or Jason to do this, yeah.
But you don't know what happens behind closed doors.
Right? There was only fucking Child Protective Services. That one time. Called one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they fucking never rechecked. They never even had fucking, they never even, like, wrote down that check had been
done
or any fucking thing to, like, remind them to go back. There was no fucking thing about them.
That's so sad. It could have had a completely different outcome.
Yeah.
Authorities are trying to get the story straight as to what happened. This was a first-degree murder, or was it self-defense? They want to talk to Jason's great-grandmother, Charlie May, who had been sick and in and out of hospitals, to determine that Jane had no set plans to go back to take care of her.
When they called Jim, her son, Charlie May's son, he was very, very mad that they went and talked to her before him, and they had done this kind of to, like, it was a tactical plan. They had went and talked to her before to see her side, whereas Jim kind of knew, like, what was going on and everything. But because they went to her, they found out that Jane wasn't supposed to go home and, like, she had no set plan, nothing. You know, they didn't know how fucking ill she was and how, like, yeah. He was really mad about it. And he ended up refusing to talk to them after that.
Jose finally was able to rekindle a relationship with Matt. Matt thought that he had hated him. Why didn't he come looking for him when he knew what his mother was like?
Jose had said that he had thought that she had a restraining order against him. When he got out of jail, she was just gone. He did try and look for him, but when his mom moved at first, he could never track them down. And then when he was close, they would just disappear again.
Jose tried to talk to Jason too, but Jason didn't want to talk to anybody outside of his grandma and uncle. When those two left, Jason had nobody to talk to. He wrote a letter to Matt saying it was okay if Jose came to visit.
June 6, 2003. Matt finally had a preliminary hearing. All his defense lawyer wanted was to get Matt home. Nellie said that she knew that Jane had mental illness problems and that it probably wasn't a great fit for the boys, but it was somebody else's children. She couldn't really take them away. It was none of her business. It was her fucking grandchildren and her child. That should be your business.
Yeah.
Like, there is no fucking if, and, or but. Mm-hmm. If you think you're fucking... One, if you think your grandchildren are being abused in any sort of way, you should fucking take action. Two, if you know that your fucking child has a mental illness and, like, is placing it on their children in a negative way, you should probably try and get them a little bit of help in some sort of way.
I agree. Assistant Public Defender Don Ronaldson ended up defending Jason while Matt was appointed Dave D. Dave knew if he had to get Matt out of a murder charge, Matt would have to testify against Jason, which would be hard as the brothers were very close.
January 18th, 2005. The jury was made up of 11 women, one man. February 4th, 2005, a verdict was read in the case against Jason. Jason, 22 years old, was guilty of first-degree murder. Jurors felt sorry for Jason, but they claimed that he could have just walked away. He was sentenced to 25 years to life.
Jason told the judge, "I am very sorry for my actions, Your Honor, but this wasn't first-degree murder in my opinion." As he claimed, it was self-defense as his mother was coming at him with a knife.
Okay, so question for you.
Ooh.
If you had had, and I don't, like, obviously it's not going to be a right answer or a wrong answer. We can't put ourselves in the shoes. But if there was a case where a parent was coming at you again and again and again, completely blaming you, whatever, this situation. If something had happened that, where we know now that he had kind of provoked her, but in the case that it wasn't provoked and she had came at you with a knife and everything, and a murder had happened, not to the degree, obviously, chopping her head and hands off, but, like, would you try and just walk away? Would you fight back? Would, like, what would you do?
I mean, in a sense, I would protect myself, depending on how far that went, because, like, anything could happen.
Yeah.
Like, I could punch somebody in the head, they could fall to the ground, get back up. I could punch somebody in the head, they could die instantly. Like, it just depends, like, on how it happened. But if somebody died from me doing something, 100%, I'd go to the cops right away. That's just me. Like, I am, for one, I'm just too guilty of a person.
I know you are.
Like, I can't even accidentally steal.
Yeah.
Like, if I accidentally steal, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I gotta go back.
Yeah.
So, murder, even if it was accidental, I'd call the police and be like, I accidentally killed this and this person. Yeah. Like,
I fucked up.
Like, you gotta come here right now. This is what happened. But in the same, like, sentence, like, I was never in his shoes.
Yeah.
To that extent.
No, like, no. I know that.
But even if I killed somebody because they were abusing me, I still don't think that I could, like, cut them up.
Like, cover it up.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would just be like, even in the case that I went so far as to covering it up, I feel like I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, guys.
I couldn't fucking live with the guilt.
Yeah. That's what I feel like.
And, like, not for Matt, because Matt wasn't the one who did it, but Matt. Right.
He was trying to protect his older brother.
But was he trying to protect his older brother, or was he scared for his life?
I think in the sense he was both, but, like, I think if it was the other way, where his mom had killed his brother, I think he would be terrified for his life.
Yeah.
But I think in this sense, he was just like, okay, it's over. I'm going to try and protect you. Because as soon as they were like, your brother gave it all up.
Yeah.
Like, you need to come forward. He did. It wasn't like he was, you know, petrified to come forward. He wasn't like, like, if I say or do anything, I'm gonna get in trouble. Like, Jason had told him the whole time, I'm gonna be there for you. No matter what. If, like, you know, like, we're gonna say this, but, like, you're not going to jail.
Yeah.
And he took that as, okay, I'm not going to jail. I'm come forward. But if it was vice versa, right? And it was his mom saying, like, you need to say this, I think he would be fucking petrified for his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say because you're not, like, there in their minds and stuff.
No.
And years of abuse. And in Jason's case, his mom treated him so poorly because of his dad.
Yeah.
Which I do not agree with.
No. And even saying, like, Matt wasn't treated poorly because of his dad. Not that he was treated great. But compared to Jason,
yeah,
he wasn't treated awesome.
No.
But because his dad wasn't someone she absolutely hated because of everything he put her through and, you know.
Yeah, and that's where, like, coming from as somebody with children, even if I hated Luke, there's no part of me that could treat my children.
Right.
Because I don't care if my child is a product of you. Like,
it's still your child.
It is my child.
And it's part of you.
And I chose to have that child with that person. And yeah. I do not agree with people who are like, I despise my child because I had them with this person. It's like, yeah. You chose at that time to have a child.
Yeah.
And if you hate that person, that's fine.
Well, and there's but even,
your
like...
your child did not choose to come into that.
Yeah. And that your child, well,
fucking mental.
Your child did not choose to come into the world. But with what you're saying, too, like, there are rape victims and people of sexual assault who have gone pregnant after their trauma due to that trauma who still raise their children and love them to death because... it is a product out of you. It is your child.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is just so cold-hearted. Like, there's just no other fucking side to it.
I could not treat my child any differently.
No.
Because of who their other parent is.
Yeah.
Like it's I don't just care insane. What they did.
Right?
Not saying that Luke has ever done anything bad like that.
Yeah.
But saying, like...
in the case that he had.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your child's fault.
No. Not at all.
No.
And they should not be treated in that sense. And I think that Jason and Matt, not that they should have done what they did, but...
they could have had a better upbringing had certain things happened.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Like, anyways... Matt would go on to say, quote, "We were both very scared of her," unquote. Matt pleaded guilty to accessory of murder after the fact for his role in helping dispose of Jane's body. He was sentenced to 749 days in jail, and then he was freed. Matt told Jose that he now calls Dad that he would want to live with him when he got out. When Matt was told his sentence, he had already served those 749 days behind bars, so he was told to go home. And I looked up fucking every source I could. So unless there is somebody else who knows any other source, aside from Matt, that knows, well, if Matt wants to message us, he 100% can. But... knows what happened to Matt after those. Like, I could not find a source as to what happened. It was just like, he was freed. I don't know where he went, what he did, what his job is. Like, I have nothing on him. And you know what? Good for him. Because he, as far as I can tell, is freed from the media, is freed from the scene. And, like... yes, it would be good to know, like, if I was working with someone who, like, had a part, but he didn't physically...
he didn't do...
do it. He didn't do anything. He was fucking 15, and he was listening to his brother, and he hid.
Yeah, and I think that he shouldn't be shamed
or
anything for that.
Yeah, no.
Like, and he didn't even know that his mom was dismembered.
No.
He
until after the fucking TV came out about it. He had no idea. Like, anyways, Nelly died on May 29th, 2012. This is a random fact I know. You wanted to I just know. Fucking wanted to. Anyways, the source that I got most of my story from is Such Good Boys, The True Story of a Mother, Two Sons, and a Horrifying Murder by Tina Durman, who did a fucking wonderful job. She goes into the whole trial, fucking everything before. I did not even give you like 25% of what had happened. Like, you guys have to go through and read it. Absolutely.
And if you want to read it and you don't want to buy a book, you can go to Scribd. We're not sponsored.
No, but it's only like $12 a month.
And it's great.
And it's so great. And it only has fucking every book in the universe. It has podcasts.
Books, podcasts.
PDFs. Magazines. Fucking everything. Like, literally any case I'm looking up, I can go on there and I can find something about it. It is fucking phenomenal. It's not only just like true crime, but it's everything. Fiction, fact.
There's kids books. You're not into kids books.
No, I was like, help me out with this. I don't know what else there is.
I've put on some kids books through there.
There's also audio books. I'm listening to Jeanette McCarty's I'm Glad My Mother Died Right Now, and it is so fucking good. I do also recommend you guys listen to it or read it. But, like, that's one that I thought I was like, oh, you know, like, one day when I have the money, I'll go out and buy it. And then it came out, and I was like, oh, fuck.
That's like my sister. She was looking for this book. What is it called? Something in the Flesh. I can't remember what it's called now. And she was telling me about this book, and I was like, you know what? You should just download Scribd and subscribe to it. Like, there's a free trial, and you can, like, I looked it up. I'm like, oh, the book's on there. You can read it. And
yeah.
Then her husband actually ended up buying the book for her. And I'm like, you know what? You could have just, like, because with that one, there's the audiobook, or you can read it.
Yeah. Too. And a lot of them are like that. You can read it or... And there's, like, books that are, like, 239 pages long. Or 14 hours long.
Which is, like... It's going to bug me on what... Because I doubt...
As if we were doing an ad or something. Scribd. Please add. Please fucking make us a subscriber. Like, come on.
Well, thanks for listening to the Dark Light Podcast.
And follow us on Dark Light. Nope. Follow us on Instagram at dark.klight.podcast_.
And on Twitter at darklightpod1.
You can email us at darklightpodcast@hotmail.com with any episode
recommendations.
Thank you. Or stories of yours that you want to be on an upcoming sequel called Crowd Chronicles.
We will see you next Tuesday, and remember to keep
your lights on. P.S. before you stop this, our other articles are Murderpedia, Sandy Gwynab Tribune, thetimes.com, and YouTube. We will post those all in the show notes, but I just thought, because we said the first one, I thought we should say the rest of them.
This is true.
Yeah.
And this is our longest episode yet, so.
How long?
48 minutes and whatever second. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys. Love you.